I'll tell you what, I'll thoroughly forget about it when I am having great sex with my girlfriend.
Right.
I promise you won't cross my mind who went.
Right. And I'll be talking about the Lord, but it'll be in a different context.
Hello, and welcome back to A Year Unhinged. I say back because we have been doing episodes every day for a year since 02-22-22. And we will be going until that date, but 23. So,
oh, crisis coral. Yeah.
This is your first episode. You have, like, I don't know, 147 episodes to catch up on.
Yeah.
And I believe in you. I know you can do it. But today, sometimes we get, you know, most times we're goofy and ridiculous. But every now and then we talk about something real. And we feel like it's a good time for that. I am here, and my name is Maddie. Sorry, I forget not everyone watches and can see who's talking. Yeah, my name is Maddie. I'm one of your hosts. My pronouns are they, them. Bree is not here.
Yeah, the normal ho-coast.
Ho-coast, baby! Absolutely!
Is Bree, and Bree is unfortunately out taking a breather. So I'm Mackenzie. I am the temporary replacement sibling of this one, they, yeah. Them.
Bree puts the Bree in breather.
What?
She puts the Bree in breather.
Oh, she's alive.
She's taking a breather. Oh. You said.
My logic was like, what? You can't do that to a hymnal.
Too many of the same sounds.
Yeah. Burr, burr, burr.
Anyway, yeah, so we're going to talk about our deconstruction from Christianity, which, if you don't know what that means, it basically means you were born into or super believed in Christianity. It can be any religion, but for us, it was Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, you started seeing the holes in it, and then you started trying to explain those holes, and then you realized the explanations made more holes. And then over time, it was like, you know what? This ain't it, fam.
It's not working.
So we're going to talk about that a little bit, and these are our views. Bree still very much identifies with Christianity and being a Christian and has been vocal about that on the podcast. So no disrespect ever to people who find solace and whatever you need to find in your religion. This is just our experience and our views and why we left the church, which I feel like has become, you know, like everyone does a why I left BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people eventually get to, like, why I left the church.
Right.
But anyway, you want to take it away, Penny?
Sure. I think religion, faith, and any sort of practice that you adhere to that brings you comfort, joy, community, and is not harmful to you or others is a beautiful thing. So let me start off by saying that. The reason I personally left the American Christian church is because I found none of that there. And I honestly feel like that's a bit sad. And once again, my experience is my experience. Yours may be different. But I was raised in the church. My dad was a deacon and then an elder. And then my mom taught Sunday school and was really involved in youth ministry. And I was also homeschooled, and you were as well, for religious reasons. It was like a thing. And that's a podcast for a different day.
Mm-hmm.
But
maybe tomorrow. Keep watching.
The thing that I used to say, and this was before I even began deconstructing, right? I remember sitting behind Geek Squad talking to one of my fellow people in a tie just out of college and being like, do you know how I view the church, like my relationship with the church? And he was like, how? And I was like, I'm Anakin Skywalker. It's the temple. I want to march in, burn it to the ground, and start over.
I don't think Anakin's goal was to start over. I think it was more just the
but
burning.
That was mine.
But yeah.
I was like, I just want to raise it to the ground and start over. Not the people, not the, like, the faith aspect of it itself, but the institution is
exactly
what I had an issue with. So for me, I was the kind of kid that was very studious. I had different translations of the Bible. We're talking 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. Like, a small child, a bunch of different translations to see what they all meant. I left the youth group at, I believe, 13 and started going to adult Sunday school classes, not just Sunday school, but also adult biblical history classes. And because I wanted the context of what the people believed during the time they believed it. And what I kept coming to the conclusion of is like, it seemed like this made a lot of sense because it was rationalized and packaged in a very logical way if your foundation is already in faith. And so it was like, okay, well, these people believed this, and that's how eventually the church as we know it came about. And there are a lot, I mean, to really go into this, this would be a very long...
It can be.
...podcast thing.
I'd rather you actually go into it. So
okay.
Do whatever you want.
One thing was that when I was about old enough to start knowing things about myself and when puberty started coming around, I felt alien. I didn't feel male or female. I just felt like a creature, a thing. I don't know. An amoeba. I didn't fit in with any the girls. I didn't particularly fit in with the guys. I just sort of was like a thing that didn't make sense. I also was taught like that you should marriage is between one man and one woman, and you should not date. You should just court, which means be in someone's presence around the presence of your parents, until you get married. No kissing, no anything, and except for maybe holding hands until you get married. And I watched people around me live perfectly normal, happy lives, doing all kinds of things that I was told were very bad, or were really not good for you. And I just thought, like, well, maybe the other shoe will drop for them at some point. And maybe if I keep doing this, it'll make sense at some point. And it continued not to. I mean, I was a kid that dressed in baggy clothes, wore no makeup, like hair was grown and ponytail tied down the nape of my neck, so I looked like a swashbuckler. Like, well, yeah, I just didn't fit in to what was, you know, expected of me from a gender standpoint. I did things like, you know, I wore dresses to church, and I did eventually start putting on makeup and everything, but I learned makeup from cosplay. So even to this day, my eyeliner is because I wanted to have Axel cosplay eyes, you know, so we're they're the cat wings, you know?
Yes. Snaps for David.
We yes. Axel from Kingdom Hearts, baby. And so, you know, I started finding more community in fandom groups and in like writing groups and literature clubs and theater than I did in church. And that's okay. Like, some people, it's just an act of worship to go to church. You know, they're not there for community. We had our parents split older in our lives than most people. I believe I was 18 and you were 16. And all of that's healed and it's great and dandy. And honestly, they probably should have a long time ago. But when they did, it sort of showed the cracks in how the church handles that sort of thing. Because on the one hand, they ostracized our parents. And on the other end, they took sides. And on the other hand, they did not care about us, the kids, at all.
Not to totally cut in, but sure. As an example, I was singing on the worship team and leading guitar in the youth team. So I was on both the adult and the youth music teams. And I just suddenly was, like, not on the schedule anymore. Mm-hmm. And I approached the worship leader, who, by the way, was also very good friends with our dad. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, if you're thinking I need, like, a grief period, I don't. I'm cool to sing. Like, I can sing still, you know?
Right.
And he was like, yeah, no, we think we'll just take you off. I was like, no, I don't need it. I'm good. Like, my autistic peach was like, was like, oh, that's very kind. I don't need it. Like, I believe your intentions are pure, but I don't need it. And then it just kind of, like, as I was talking, started clicking, like, oh, you're kicking me off because of the divorce. And eventually he said it. He was like, yeah, you know, we just, while we're learning how to, like, navigate having someone in leadership that's been through a divorce, we just don't want any of the family involved. And I was like,
noted.
Fascinating. This is very contrary to what you teach.
And not only that, it taught two things simultaneously. One, if you fall in any capacity, you're no longer part of the community. And two, your parents / father is your master.
Yeah.
Meaning that it doesn't matter. I'm not an individual to the church. My dad's failings mean that it reflects on me.
Yeah.
And so I can't have my own individual walk with Christ because it's, you know, my dad messed up.
Yeah. Which
is dumb.
Was not even our dad's teaching.
No.
Like, that's partly why I was so blindsided. Yeah. Because faith in our house, because of my dad, like, my mom, whole other bag of peanuts. My dad, though, like, he was always very, you know, and I've mentioned this before, you know, he was very, your faith should be your own. We expect you to learn and explore. My mom would be like, ah, look at what they're wearing. That's just, their shorts are too short. That's not a, and he'd be like, if guys are looking, that's gross on them. Like, you know.
Yeah. And I will say too, like, we were raised by somebody that was raised in the church, didn't really care about it, and then came back to the faith. That was my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody that had a pretty hard upbringing, and found faith in her early 20s, and that was my mom. And so I think I could argue, because there's a lot of trauma to unpack with my mom in general, but I usually take that as, like, she had, she did the thing that a lot of people do, which is really hard, correct, and went full, like, we're taking kids out of school, we are going to make sure that all their curriculum is Christian, we are only going to read Christian books, listen to Christian music, mm-hmm. we're going to go to every Christian movie. And I feel like it was less about control for control's sake in the beginning, and more about, like, I just want to make sure that this is right. I'm doing the right thing. I mean, there were just things that continued to happen, or, you know, these girls would want to date, and they'd be shamed for wanting to go out with boys and kiss boys and do things, and the boys were shamed for thinking about sex. And it's like, one, girls also think about sex, and two, boys should not be shamed for wanting to be in relationships with girls and to learn more about girls. And there was just, like, it was very separate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And because I already had issues with gender identity and did not know that's what it was, I thought it was absolutely asinine to sit there and have us do separate tasks. And if I could, I chose to sit with the boys. And it was not because I was boy crazy, but I was making a point.
Mm-hmm.
This is stupid. There's no reason. I'm a human being. You guys are human beings. They are human beings. There's no reason for us to be separated by gender. Because if we're all neither male nor female in Christ, this is dumb. And mm-hmm. you're teaching gender roles. So that drove me crazy. The older I got, the more I was like, I'll go into seminary. I'll, like, dig down. I'll find out how this is dumb. I'll show them they're being dumb. Mm-hmm. And sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just... Because I think when you... If you're not Christian, just a little insight. When you first start having questions and doubts and things like that, you have to understand, when you're raised in that, you're also raised never to question God.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, having a question, being like, ah, that doesn't make sense, is a lack of faith.
Right.
Or rebellious.
Yeah.
Or you just wanting to sin and being tempted by the devil.
Yeah.
I mean, we would have many, many conversations with authority figures mm-hmm. that was, like, so extreme that it was like, if your car breaks down, that's the Lord testing your patience. If mm-hmm. if anything ever goes
it's
wrong,
it's Demon Sammy.
It's either a trial to prove to the Lord that you're worthy.
Right.
It's demons trying to take you away.
It's improving your relationship.
Or it's actually going to work out for the better. Because God chose on a Thursday to give a turd.
Right.
And so, like, it's so extreme like that, where you're constantly in a state of, like, micro-gaslighting every single thing that happens in your life. So even the act of asking yourself, like, is this doesn't make a lot of sense, feels wrong. And so then a lot of people's strategy, which is what McKinsey was describing, is, okay, I have to believe this is right.
Because
I'm not a bad person. I'm not a bad person. I care about people.
I'm not one of those sinners.
So
I'm
to prove
lost.
I care about people and I'm a good person, I can't not believe in it. So what it is I believe in it so hard that I must just not know enough about it.
Right.
It must be a lack of understanding on my part.
Yeah.
Because surely none of this is wrong or bad. So anyway, that's kind of how that goes if you're not religious or whatever.
You sure do. And I would argue, too, ironically, our dad, the elder, was the one that was like, hey, David doubted.
Yeah, he did.
David doubted. So if you're having a moment of doubt, don't feel bad. People that are heroes of the Bible doubted, and you should explore that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not the message most people tell you.
Mm-mm.
There were just consistent things like that. We did have a church experience, and I won't go into graphic detail, but there was an incident with a young child and the pastor's son, who was a teenager. And instead of, you know, calling the police or, you know, doing anything about it from a legal standpoint, the church deacons were trying to find a way to, like, sweep it under the rug.
Yeah, to cover
it
up.
And our dad went, are you insane? Call the police. And so it ended up being like, that he disappeared for maybe a month or two. And then magically, the son was back at church. With the child in question still there. And they put the teenager in front of the congregation, the pastor's son. And the pastor said that we should all just forgive him. And that forgiveness was part of this. And that we just needed to basically sweep the entire event under the rug. And if we were actually forgiving and believed in God, then we would just allow him to break his restraining order and to come back into the church around other people's children. So what that resulted in is a child leaving the church because of something very traumatic that happened to him. Us leaving the church because we were like, and that's a wrap on us here.
Yeah, that church.
That particular church. And it really caused my dad, I think, to like start digging into like what do I actually believe out of all this? Because he started really looking into it, right?
Right.
So all these things happen. Puberty hits. Not only is the gender stuff hitting, but like boys aren't attractive and girls are attractive and like very feminine boys in animation are attractive. And I'm starting to go like, oh boy, what does that mean? And I had gay friends, and I would tell them the same thing every time, which is, I don't agree with you, but I love you no matter what, and I will support you as a person, even if I don't get your lifestyle or approve of it. Because that's what I was taught.
Yeah.
Verbatim. Yeah. Which is why I regurgitated it like that.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Christianity, they hand you a script of acceptable responses to people you disagree with.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't realize how political the church was, but looking back, it was wild. Political, but it's even more so now, and that's a different kettle of worms. But
on that note, real quick, my very best friend growing up was like Southern Baptist, so
very entrenched,
real hard. That's like a hardcore
alt-right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And one time, you know, you have like, why do we have to friends call it that go
Southern
to
Baptist? You know, like what's that?
What's going on here? yeah. So you know, you have friends that go to church and. Because of my dad, our family was a little more like, you know, if you have a slumber party, you don't have to make it to church every single Sunday. My mom was not that way, so it kind of depended on who was home. but most of our friends were like, we do not miss church. So I spent the night with her, and I remember it just happened to be 9/11 or like the week of 9/11 the next day. And so we went to church, and the entire sermon was about 9/11. And how the only reason 9/11 happened was because of the sin in the world, in America. The whole thing. And it was, like, so theatrical and aggressive and manipulative. Like, they were showing, you weren't there. I spent the night with my best friend.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to, it was a different church. It was not our church. And,
and I hated slumber parties.
Hated slumber parties, yes. And so, yeah, the whole thing, I mean, it was, like, showing graphic videos with, like, just manipulative Christian music that was just very like, oh, if people had more faith, then people would live and it was so.
I get auditions for those daily.
Yeah.
There's FYI.
Yeah. It's extreme when we say, like, oh, church is political. Literally, they tell you your vote and your soul are congruent.
Yeah. And it's, that's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah. I had gay friends, and I had people in the trans community and all of that that I was close to, and I disagreed, but I loved them. And honestly, I found more connection with them than I did with anybody at church, once again. So, long story short, we were so entrenched because of both church and homeschooling in a Christian side of things that was most of my childhood, and certainly teenage years and everything. I was in Christian plays. I did, like, theatrical sword fighting with you, but it was a Christian-based group, so we would pray before everything and have Bible studies and, you know, like, make sure that the Lord was mentioned every time we did stuff. Even though it was, like, Star Wars, you know, we're fighting in front of the movie theater. And it just, I just was entrenched, and I started believing, like, it is my job to be, like, a follower of Christ and to show Christ and to be this pillar of this Christian community. And so I was really pretentious, if I'm honest. I was, like, very much, like, people need to get their stuff together. If you have a shortcoming, you need to wrap it up and figure it out with God because it is on you to figure that stuff out. Like, I was not nice. And that was also praised in the groups that I was in. You know, I was treated like I was, you know, a pillar of that community and everything. Until I dated the male pillar of that community, broke up with him, and then everyone was like, oh, what a harlot. You literally held hands and dated for 6 months, and by dated, I mean sit on a sofa together for 6 months. It was underage. It started underage, and then it eventually became not so underage. But it was underage at first. But it was literally in the, I'm not in any way condoning this, but I'm saying it was always under the eye of a parent.
Right.
There were things like, you know, they sat me down and, I'm not going to disclose what, because this person is still involved with people and I don't give a flying fuck. People in the community might care and I'm just trying to be respectful. They sat me down and had a discussion about one of his shortcomings that was like inherent to his personality, right? That was not a shortcoming. It is just something that humans naturally do. I'll say that. And I was just devastated because I was like, oh, he's being a human. Oh, this is disgusting, right? There was literally nothing. It was nothing. It was something that, like, happens daily for most people. But in the Christian community, anything that has to do with, like, anything romantic or sexual or intimate or anything like that has to be under the scrutiny of the Lord.
Anything you enjoy?
Yeah, has to be under the scrutiny of the Lord.
For sure. Yeah.
Which, once again, if you adhere to those tenets, that's fine. But I was starting to go, like, how deep is this going to go? Like, what do I got to do to just be a little bit independent? When I broke up from this person, I lost almost all of those friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're supposed to date to get married. And yes. I was the harlot that, like, did it and tricked him and, like, did it just to date him and not actually to marry him, which was not true. I did date him with the intention of marrying him, but then I realized at, like, you know, 18, that I really didn't want to get married to this guy because I was not attracted to him.
Mm-hmm.
I was not in any way attracted to him, and I didn't want to be a wife.
I feel like if we look back now, what you had for him was gender envy.
Yes, that is exactly what it was.
Yeah.
He was, like, muscular, but, like, lean muscular, and he was very athletic, and he had, like, dark hair, and I just was like, yes, that's what I want to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. For me, it was like, which of you will irritate me the less?
Yeah, the least.
And it turned out, none of you. Not a one.
Not a one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, people came in and out of the closet that I knew, and I would sit them down and have these same conversations. Fast forward to me being in my mid-20s and being in a 4-year long-term, like, pen pal situation with a girl in a different state where, like, we poured our hearts out to each other. And Maddie was like, are you sure you're straight?
Let me pause you real quick because okay. I don't want to interrupt it when it gets good. If you hear the small chortles of a creature you might not be able to identify, he absolutely is fine.
Yeah.
That is my dog not comprehending why he's in a different room than me
and not in your lap.
Making it low-key known. So he's fine and ignore it.
He's irate that he's not in
yeah,
your lap.
That right is now. The definition of a lap dog. And if my lap is not, if he's not piled upon it, something is inherently wrong with the world. So he's fine. Ignore it. Continue with your 4-year. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Can I actually, from my perspective on that one?
I've been talking a while.
No. I love that. But I do have a different perspective on that for you.
Yeah.
For your situation. Yeah. So Mackenzie's talking to this girl. They're both, like, actively flirting. It's not, you know, it's not a subtle thing.
I didn't know I was flirting, but yes.
You were. Yeah. And it was funny to watch because, like, Mackenzie is a himbo. So it was absolutely flirting. Everyone present knew it to be so. And Mackenzie, not so much. For me, this was at the stage of my deconstruction. Oh, maybe we can back up.
Yeah.
Because I think this story is where our deconstruction kind of merges.
Merged.
I, again, respect that people have beliefs and understand how they acquire them. But I am someone who is extremely against religion. My fundamental belief, what's been proven to me, is that Christianity is just the most popular cult there is. And it is inherently bad to people who aren't Christian and inherently bad to people who are, and you're just not picking up on it. So I view Christians, just to be clear, like the individual human Christians, as victims of Christianity, not necessarily players in that. And
right.
Then obviously anyone who's calling for the murder of homosexuals or, you know,
anyone,
preaches
really.
Racism and politics and anything like that, you're bad. I'm sorry, you're bad. So for me, I did not start questioning, like, the church or anything like that during the divorce. I am one of those people who genuinely finds it difficult to have faith in humanity. If we're talking about people on the whole, I can't stand them. I don't like them. I can't fathom being a people person. It takes a spiritual, emotional discipline to not be absolutely fatigued by the sound of a stranger's freaking voice. Like, right. Why are you talking to me? I'm one of those people. Not all of them.
You're an Enneagram 5. Like, you are somebody that hoards your time and attention. So when other people take that, it's like,
Yes, and I'm sure the tism doesn't help, but it's right. Like, I was thinking.
Yeah.
I was in the middle of thinking, and you spoke.
Yeah.
And now I'm not thinking, and I'm angry.
And I've forgotten what I was thinking about, because I'm also ADHD.
Now, that being said, I love my people. Mm-hmm. There's a time and a place to make friends, and I do that. But, I, like, when it comes to, like, humanity, I think it's awful. So, I wasn't like, I put my faith in these great people, mm-hmm. and I'm watching them stumble before my eyes. I was like, you suck differently than I thought, but you always sucked. So for me, it was more like the repeated trauma conversation in my head of like, oh yeah, everybody really does blow. Right. Like, I was right to be a solo artist in my life.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so the holes, I would say, were always there for me. Mm. I just kind of bought into, like, yeah, all of you guys suck, and church sucks, and people suck, but that doesn't mean God sucks. Like, right. I was that guy, mm-hmm. you know? And, like, people are flawed. People are gonna be flawed. That's mm-hmm. why we need God. Like, I was that whole branch, and, like, yeah. God is love, and you guys just don't understand it, and you're using it wrong, blah, 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 mm-hmm. that whole trail. And I think for me, if you watched our D&D episode, this is the guy that I mentioned that had, like, an emotional epiphany through D&D. But we grew up in that community with a guy that was, everyone knew he was gay. Mm-hmm. Everyone knew he was gay.
It was not a shocker when he came out.
It was not a shocker.
Really?
He came out and he tried. Like, he was sent to conversion therapy. Yeah. And this guy is, we love him, and he's been through a lot of stuff because of his sexual orientation. Excuse me. But, yeah, it was that guy. That guy was one of the people I was closest to in the world mm-hmm. in that group. It was, like, my best friend. That guy, we would all leave.
Yeah,
like, if we had these massive parties, we would, like, wander off into the woods and tell dramatic stories. Or, like, we were the emo theater, mm-hmm. whatever the F we were, I don't even know.
Listening to musicals in the corner while everybody else is like, the Lord.
Yes, yeah. It was, like, me and him were, like, we were rebellious this week because we read this book we weren't supposed to read that's, like, perfectly normal. And then my best friend would be like, oh, I'm just basking in your rebellion. I could never. it was very funny. But I was very close to this dude. And so he came out at a certain point and, like, did a video for our church. We went to the same church, different branches. So some churches, it's like, oh, we're Kerplop Ministries. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, you go to
the east branch
of Kerplop. Yeah. So we went to different branches of the same church. So our church released, every branch will get the same videos, the same marketing. And he was in this video that was like, hey, you can be gay and deny that part of yourself after conversion therapy, and, like, God can help you through that. And I want to say it was not even a year after that that he was like, screw that, I'm just gay, forget it.
Yeah.
And watching him do that, I'm a very instinctual, I'm an instinct-based person. Mm-hmm. Like, I will trust what I feel and think and then unravel that before I go, I was taught this, let me change what I feel and think around that. And so I just remember my instincts going off. One, when the video came out, mm-hmm. and, like, verbally you're like, oh, like, good for him. That's what you're supposed to do. You're taught to, like, deny yourself. That isn't that right. wild? That is the rule of Christianity. Deny yourself. Take up my cross for me, and follow me.
What is there left if I deny myself?
And why am I doing your job, you all-powerful? Yeah. Like, you take it. But that friend that I grew up with, that was gay, once he was a part of that video and then, like, immediately turned around and was like, yeah, forget it, that was crazy. Like, I have to be gay. I am gay. One, it started feeling weird to me. Before he even turned around and was like, fully, no, I'm done and I'm just gay. Mm-hmm. It was strange to me, like, wait, why are we saying that it's a rewarding, like a reward worthy thing to deny who you are.
Right.
And then I started asking, okay, wait, does God make mistakes or not? Mm-hmm. Because I have known this kid since I was a kid. Yeah. Everyone knew he was gay before he came out.
Before, yeah.
It was before, not a subtle situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he was that gay guy who every girl he dated later came out as a lesbian.
Right.
You know? And so, like, I just kept thinking, he was born that way.
Yeah.
He was absolutely born that way.
Yeah. And is no not offense, the only person in his family to have been born
I was going to say, I won't say names, no. But, like, I'll just say it. Despite the choices he made, his dad was born that way. Like, people...
We don't know this. This is
we don't know this, but this was, like, a thing that everyone kind of was like, oh, yeah, well, it seems like it's in his blood, but they're choosing God, kind of a thing. And so I was just thinking, like, this isn't a choice-based thing where it's like, I can choose not to cuss. He can't choose what to feel.
Right.
He can't undo what to feel. And, like, for me, I had the ability of likening it to being upset or having depression. Like, anything like mm-hmm. that. You can pick any feeling other than attraction. And, like, right now, I dare you, sit down and try not to feel it.
Right.
Try not to feel it. Don't feel sleepy.
Right.
It's not an emotion. It's a state of being. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
I can't.
just try not to anything. Yeah. And you can't, because that is literally in your nature.
Yeah.
And so that's when I started questioning, like, the cultishness of it, which is why I gave that disclaimer, mm-hmm. because I am going to refer to it that way, because that was my experience, was like, Hang on a minute. Like, a narcissist would say, everything that you are, you don't need that. Mm-hmm. What you need is what I need you to need.
Right.
What I need is for you to put down anything that gets in my way, mm-hmm. gets in the way of my thing.
Right.
Only pick up what behooves me. And also that could change. We'll see. And then just the incessant cherry picking of, like, my parents got divorced. Over time, people were like, that's natural. Like, that was an era thing. Like, now that's more normal. And I just started going, okay, why?
Right.
Why is this okay and that's not okay? Why is that a product of its time, but this, not a product of its time, because we don't like it today. Mm-hmm. So that started there. When he fully came out, I think the most powerful thing anyone can experience is watching someone leave what you think happiness is and actually turn out happy.
Yeah.
Like,
that was him.
Like, you're just watching his Instagram, like, there was obviously a period of, you could tell he was depressed, and because it's hard. Your family disowns you in some cases. Like, the fallout of it, not so much. But, like, you get your footing, you mm-hmm. find your family, and watching all that happen was like, okay, he is happier than anyone I know.
Right.
And so I just decided, okay, I love him. I trust him. I'm going to spend a year in my head reading everything I can, pretending that it's wrong to be gay. And then I'm going to spend a year reading everything I can in my head, pretending that I absolutely believe in that no matter what. Mm. And what I found was that I could not find a single Christian book that had definitive biblical Christian reasons for it not to be okay to be gay.
Right.
Everything was political or about being a conservative.
Right.
That was it.
Or, literally, it would talk about essaying people and not about... Like, it would basically say that by doing that, it's essay. And it's, like, it's consensual.
Yeah, which is also a joke.
It is a joke.
Because the percentage of pastors who are actually doing that don't...
There's
literally... Don't even get me started!
Yeah, there's literally a list that came out this year of over 200... Not pastors. Pages of pastors that have this.
So. Every church we've been to, someone has done something sexually wrong. We're talking definitely illegal things.
Yeah. Underage, a bunch of
every
stuff.
Single church we've been to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can get in the comments and be the not all churches person, but I dare you to find the numbers. Again, I couldn't find anything that wasn't actually political, and I instead ended up realizing that, like, when I read the other side of things, I couldn't disprove the gayness.
Right.
And I couldn't prove at all...
Your gayness.
Yes. I couldn't prove at all the Christian hatred of it, mm-hmm. the scriptural reason. And the book that really cemented it for me was Torn.
Such a good read.
Yeah, Torn, I think it's somebody Lee, I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I suggest it. Whether you're Christian or not, I suggest it. Because this guy literally breaks down the Greek meanings of every single word that we use as homosexuality that didn't exist in the Bible or means something completely different and was changed for political reasons.
Right.
So very good. Strongly recommend that. But that really started it for me. And it was around me reading that book that you started talking to this girl.
Yeah.
So that's where they merge.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I mean, that's pretty much a short story, too. I mean, I was, like, giving gifts that were romantic and giving things and just realized, like, oh, no. Like, I think I actually have feelings for this person. And so, I mean, we sort of tried it. That's sort of a long story because they were long distance and there was some miscommunication and things. But I learned, like, oh, yeah, this is it. This is definitely how I'm wired. and then it went from that to, like, well, you know, maybe there's other things out there that are not wrong that I was taught were wrong, because I sat back and I went, she's a good Christian girl, because she was and continues to be a good Christian girl that also just views the world a little bit differently than I've been taught, and we really have a thing for each other, and there's not literally, if this was a man, no one would care, everyone mm-hmm. would be excited for me, but instead it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of stuff just goes on, and, you know, eventually I continued to read, and it continued to make less and less sense. Politically, the country started changing, and instead of it just being, like, you're a Christian with one or another belief, it became, you're a Christian, and if you don't vote right, you're basically not a Christian, which is insanity, because mm-hmm. this is a global religion, so why do you think America has anything to do with this? Anyway. And then I started becoming more open with my identity, and I had people that have known me since I was 13 basically say, if you actually come out officially and you're, like, with someone, we will have to break fellowship with you, which means that somebody that was literally a mentor to me will refuse to see me from now on if I am in a gay relationship of any kind, which is funny because I don't know how telling me breaking fellowship is, like, a threat, like, that's gonna stop me, like,
right.
No, it'll just You're be not... sad not to see you anymore.
Yeah,
like, I would be willing to sit with you even if we disagreed, but if you don't want to sit with me anymore, sure.
I'll tell you what, I'll thoroughly forget about it when I am having great sex with my girlfriend.
Right.
I promise you won't cross my mind who went.
Right. And I'll be talking about the Lord, but it'll be in a different context. Yeah.
I will be going to church in a very different way.
Yeah, and so I just think, especially as this country becomes more politically polarized, it became very clear that a line was drawn that you are either a right-wing person of faith or you're a left-wing lunatic, is sort of how, especially in our area, it's handled. And the bottom line, and the straw that broke the camel's back to me, is that a couple things. One, I've always loved science. And the more that I delved into science, the more I realized it made more sense than anything I'd ever read about, even in Christian science books. And we continue to find galaxies and, like, clusters of galaxies that made me, even as a kid, go, I wonder if God has different rules on different planets.
Hmm.
Like, is this something that, like that. If this is in Pluto, because this isn't the Earth... If there are people on Pluto, does he have a different Bible? Because Jesus didn't go to Pluto that I know of.
Yeah, do they even have the same anatomical parts?
Right, that was one thing, is just science kept going, like, okay, where does the line end, right? And the other thing, too, was that I just looked back at how much money the church puts towards politics and the fact that it's tax exempt. And if that was anything else in this country, it would be horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's faith-based, and we're not a Christian nation, but because it's faith-based, right, you get a tax exemption. However, if you say anything like, we're pro-choice, we're pro-life, it doesn't matter the stance. If you talk about that and have, like, signage about that,
mm-hmm.
you can lose your tax exemption. But no one ever does, right? So the amount of money that churches make and are not taxed for is why you see mega churches. Is why you can afford to send people overseas to indoctrinate them into this.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrifying.
Horrifying. And that was another really big red flag for me.
Yeah.
Because I survived a gun violence incident, yeah, which I plan on telling that story,
yeah,
at a certain point. But yeah, I survived that, and it basically resulted in, like, a lot of financial issues, because the person that, one of the two people that did it looked suspiciously like somebody that I worked with.
Mm.
And so I had to immediately quit that job. Not only that, but it was a vehicle-related thing, and so my car was totaled, so I would have been driving to work,
right,
stuck there, mm-hmm, with that person. Just very unsafe.
Yeah.
And so I wrote, and I know this because I numbered them, I wrote, I believe it was 148 letters to churches.
Ooh.
Different churches.
Nice.
Requesting help for this, because, yeah, they have funds to, like, help
community
the public
relief
and blah, 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 blah. I went to, physically visited, all the churches in our area, which in that area, I think it was, like, 5. Like, not that many.
Mm-hmm.
One of them.
Yeah.
One gave me money.
Yeah.
The ones that didn't either never got back to me, or I got...
You didn't get injured.
I'm going to say, like, 5... No, that was just my parent.
Well, so yeah.
It was just mom. Yeah, my
that's
mom was like,
story.
Yeah, which I will tell when I tell the gun story. No, they said, we actually only have that for members. You'll have,
yeah,
to become a member.
You have to pay for it.
In order to do that.
Like,
and
insurance, you know?
I responded, I was like, that's interesting, because it says community services,
right,
and they were like, yeah, no, it's for members.
Yeah.
I had one church, shout out to Dayspring.
Hell yeah.
Good for a church, I will say, mm-hmm, though they still won't let gay people in leadership.
Right.
They will let you walk in the door.
You can sit there and you can't go any
you
further.
You can sit there. But they gave me what they could,
yeah,
which was extremely kind. They were very, very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, them and then, like, the family members that could and would help were the only reason that I was even able,
yeah,
to, like, because I was in a weird insurance situation. It was very strange.
It's a lot.
Very strange. The police were working against me. It was an odd scenario,
yeah,
so they were, like, the only reason I could get another car. But, again, we're talking, so including the letters and the churches that I visited, we're, like, over 150,
mm-hmm,
that I reached out to, and,
yeah,
one gave me what they could. And,
yeah,
at the time, I was a member of that church, so I'm not sure, I'm not sure how it would have gone otherwise,
right,
but anyway.
Yeah. Money is deeply rooted in the American Christian church. It doesn't matter the denomination. Doesn't matter at all. And the things that they claim to be in support of, and what you may even be in support of, is not necessarily in connection to what they actually are. Meaning, like, maybe you're pro-life, and you're excited about Roe versus Wade being overturned. That's your prerogative. We live in a free country. However, what that does mean is that you're now okay with the potential of overturning interracial marriage. You're okay with overturning gay marriage, which you probably are. In a lot of these churches, they are. But what that means is if you have parents that have adopted children, then they're no longer married, so they can't be classified as a spouse. And they can't. There's just tax ramifications. You can't share a mortgage. You have to make a will now, because if anything happens to you, you're not going to be classified necessarily as a couple in any of this.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things that actively affect people's daily lives with your political opinions.
Yep.
And so the thing for me is having those political opinions is one thing, but it being taught from a pulpit is another, because there are other ramifications to this. I mean, in Texas, the platform, this is not me talking out of my cheeks here. If you go online and read the actual platform for the Republican Party in Texas this coming election season, part of it is to do away with laws against discrimination towards women in the workplace and voting. The same for racial discrimination. And that's bigger than just a simple, you know,
I was
platform
just kicked
difference.
Out of massage school for
right.
asking the teacher to please not make sex jokes while touching students.
Yeah.
So, who are going to be naked in his class.
Right. So, and once again, those are all social justice issues, but if your pastor is teaching you to just take things at face value that those things are wrong, the laws themselves, maybe, like, take a peek at, because it is bigger than just, you know, Jesus won this for us. There's active harm being done to other members of your community that may be different from you, but are trying to live a normal human life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and also think about this, too. just a fact that will not sit well, but is a fact that didn't sit well for me when I was super entrenched in it, is you are not oppressed. Like, yeah. You literally don't know what that is. And it's so aggravating because religion, anywhere in that Christian sphere, and I say that meaning, like, Methodist, Catholic, like, anything like that.
Any denomination.
You're taught to constantly be, like, fighting this, air quotes, oppression, and that's baked into politics at this point, to the point where when someone says they're conservative, you assume they're Christian.
Right.
Democrat could go either way.
Right.
But, and I'm not saying I'm, you know, whatever, but
yeah.
You are sold the fact that you're oppressed, despite the fact that basically you have an entire political party making decisions for people who do not believe what you believe.
Right.
Will not believe what you believe. And you genuinely think having control over every single person who does not think or believe like you.
Yeah.
You think that's some religious victory. That is you being the oppressor.
Right.
You are not oppressed. Christianity in the U.S., not in danger. These stories, because if you're not a Christian, every single Christian, sound off in the comments, especially if you're, like, deconstructed and you know exactly what I'm saying here. Every Christian has heard about how many Christians are slaughtered overseas.
Right.
And how they're being killed for their religion, and that is oppression, and that is what has been explained in the Bible and what we're supposed to fight.
Right.
Just to be clear, that is true. But you are that for everybody else.
Right.
Christians are that for everybody else. You say, exactly. Thank you. U.S. Christians are that for everybody else. It's, you know, we believe you're, like, incapable of morality and you're some stain on the earth and basically condones violence or verbal aggression or actively calls for those things against anybody who doesn't think like you. So before you go off in the comments and, oh, not every Christian, well, my church is not like that, well, I'm sorry you've had that experience, but this is the majority of people's experience.
If, over
unless you're not a Christian,
of the population,
you don't know.
Did not want to overturn Roe v. Wade. Over 60% of the population that were polled.
Mm-hmm.
So, no.
Yeah.
Also, and this is, once again, not to make it just about politics in and of itself, right? But as somebody that completely understands where you're coming from, you're excited when these things happen, not because you want to hurt other people, but because you genuinely think they're hurting themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that people have the autonomy because they're lost to make rational decisions for themselves, even though they successfully hold down jobs, relationships, children, activities, hobbies, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that they're capable, almost infantilizing them, of mm-hmm. making their own decisions because they're lost and they're only self-focused. They don't care about their community or anyone else. They just want things for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because you're taught that, frankly. Most people just live life and they have hopes and dreams just like you do. The only difference is you believe that everything goes back to a higher power, and the rest of most people believe that you just live your best life and you're kind to everyone around you.
Yeah.
And honestly, we're on the same team as far as that's concerned. And we, honestly, I've talked to other people in more, like, Lutheran-based, you know, like that sort of neck of the woods. We were evangelical. And
right.
Evangelical is different than a lot of other Christian sects, because they're not taught that. I mean, in a lot of those cases, sex is even like, yeah, go for it. Like, as long as it's consensual and it's two adults, you know, doing what they're, you know, agree to,
mm-hmm.
go for it. So that's not to say everybody, but particularly evangelicals, or I would say zealot style Christianity, you are not helping.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to practice your faith in the lives of people around you, offer to pray with them. That's perfectly fine. I have friends offer to do tarot readings for me constantly, or I've made you a spell jar. Like, that means nothing to me as far as, like, my practice is concerned. I don't practice anything. But man, does it mean the world to me that you care enough to sit down and do something for me. Like, so if you want to express your religion with your non-religious friends, continue to. But the thing is, if you continue to view the people in your life as incapable of taking care of their own lives, then more things like, you know, people hunting, like that guy on TikTok that was going into Targets to hunt homosexuals on Pride during Pride Month.
Yeah, those things are inspired by religion.
A lot of them happen because the individual is mentally ill. Or they're a closeted individual that has such repressed ideas that they can't handle it, or they're religious. And unfortunately,
which, again, religion typically doesn't believe you should go to therapy because you don't have enough faith. So right. If you're mentally ill, you're absolutely effed.
Right.
If you're not and allowed if you to be gay, you're going to repress that and then have issues.
and then if you do go to counseling, it is a religious counselor. And so it's like all back to the same thing, which is just like have more faith and pray more.
Yeah.
Confess your sins, you know. So all of that to say, I'm not hateful towards people in that community personally. I disagree with the organization. I disagree with the institution of American Christianity. I think that it's harmful. I think that it's actively proven that it backs things politically that are against the majority at large. And by majority, I just mean like the safety of like human lives.
It's inhumane.
There are churches in my area that actively are waiting on the Republican Party to win, this go around because they've expressed interest in not only making being gay itself, right? Like presenting gay, illegal, but potentially punishable by death.
Yeah. And so, trans people forget about it.
Oh yeah. They're out of the picture. So I just am basically here to say, hi, I'm the people that you're trying to kill. And if you feel that strongly about it, I think that makes you criminal.
Yeah. Also, here's where the oppression comes in and where my vehemence comes from. Because I also think a lot of people don't understand it. You know, they don't it's like, well, why do you hate us? Like, you hate us too. The reason is, I have personally, and I'm sure they exist, because every group of any group has some toxic people.
Right.
I have never met a single gay or trans person whose goal is to convince everyone else to be gay and trans, despite the fact that other person did not consent to experiencing a whole tangent about it. Like, you do not see gay people walking up to straight couples in stores and being like, disgusting.
I'm gonna snatch your husband and kiss him in front of you.
Yeah, or just caroning out about it. Yeah. Like, why do you have to do that in public?
Right.
Why are you wearing a shirt about trying to get pregnant? That's sex.
Right.
Like, you don't see it. Like, you can do whatever you want, and most people don't care.
Right.
So I think you're sold this line that you're oppressed because it is very easy, so easy, to control people who equate consequences with, like, with, what is that word? Martyrdom.
Ah, yeah.
Like, no, you are getting consequences for very real, disgusting, harmful things that are causing real-time deaths.
Yeah.
And mental health crisis and financial issues. Like, the problems that Christianity and religion in America cause are abundant. And you are trained to think, anytime there's a backlash from that, that's Satan. That's Satan trying to win. Or that's, you know, we're just the martyr. Like, we're Christians and people hate us for being Christians and blah, blah, blah. And that's not the case. The case is people hate you for insisting that everyone else is Christian too.
Right.
And when they're not, taking it to the government or taking it to violence.
Right.
That's why people hate Christianity.
Right.
That is the problem with Christianity. And if you are one of those Christians that's like, I'm so sorry that happened to you. I know that that's a real thing. I would never do that. Like, just so you know, there are Christians out there who aren't like that. Great.
We know.
Great. Fight the ones that are.
Yeah.
It is not your responsibility to sit there and be the representative of the chaste Christian who isn't as violent as the other ones. it is your responsibility then, if you're going to believe in this, right. and if you do believe in it and it's meaningful to you, it is on you to, just like we tell men to, hey, you need to stop
right.
raping. It's not on me to prove to you why I am not worthy of rape. Like, it's your job to confront your church, to confront your religion and tell it that's not acceptable. We don't need your support. We don't care if there are Christians out there who are supportive and nice. It is no skin off my little peach. No skin. It is a you problem. It is an in-house problem. It needs to stay an in-house problem. Deal with it on your own friggin' turf.
Right.
The end.
And how I view it is, if Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners, let's have dinner. Let's go. Like, you know, if that's the case, then actually help out your community, you know? Like, befriend your community outside of your church.
Because
mm-hmm. There are some really cool people that would probably, you know, really benefit from a friendship with you, and vice mm-hmm. versa. And just teach each other about the world a little bit.
Yep.
So, I feel like it's, you know, something that needs to be more addressed. And once again, I say everything that I've said with the utmost respect for the individuals that adhere to faith. I just don't have respect for the institution itself.
Right.
And until it proves to me that it cares about humanity in general outside of its own borders, I'll kind of continue to feel that way. But as an aside, space is cool. And Jesus is not in Pluto.
Oh, science.
Jesus did not go to Pluto.
Why do I miss Pluto? It's a valid planet. Oh, that was my baby.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, anyway, thanks for listening to our tirade.
Yes.
Hope you gleaned something from it, or at the very least, learned a new perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Chime off in the comments. If you know, are the kind of person that likes a spirited debate, may not be the best place for it, but we do have a Discord, so, you know. Do we have a Discord?
We don't have a Discord for this
one. We don't
have
a Discord. The comments may not be the best place for it, but if you want to have a debate amongst yourselves, feel free.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, live your best life, and if your best life is a life of faith, then do so. Just let us also live our lives.
Yeah, that's all we want. That's all we want.
Yeah.
Believe what you believe. And
I'm not coming for you.
Leave me out of it. You know what I'm saying?
I'm coming for somebody else. No, I'm just kidding.
And, like, a lot.
Yeah.
Bye. Oh, wait. Tune in tomorrow. Because we will be here. There we go. Bye.
Bye.